right, welcome to Nerdificent. I am your host, Ify Wadiway. Sitting across from me is not Danny Fernandez, but actually, to the right of me, my special guest co-host today is a good friend of ours, Ed Greer. How you doing?
Hey, man. Ify, this is really cool to be here. I've listened to you guys for a while, and no one can replace Danny.
Yeah,
I'm just going to occupy this space and time.
I like how you entered this as if you're going to be a step-parent. Like, look, I'm not here to replace Danny. I'm just, you know, I'm just here for your dad.
Right. I just don't want instant hate. This dude's right. Not Danny.
All right. And sitting across from me this time is a good friend as well. Aaron Powell, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good, good. You have done the most nerdy Prince crossovers I think that I've seen ever.
Dude, it's my thing now. People will not let me dress up as Prince, so
yeah.
I kind of have to. Even when I try to do other stuff, they say, "When are you going to do Prince again?" I'm like, I guess I grew out this long beard, so I would stop doing Prince. I'm like, no, we're good. You can still do Prince.
Yeah, you're bearded
That's
Prince.
That's fine. Yeah, Prince had a beard at one point. I'm like, yeah, but not the costume that I do. We don't care. Just do Prince and dance. That's all it is.
you're Mountain Prince.
Yeah, I'm six. I'm the tallest Prince ever. I'm 6'1", and then I actually have like a little bit of lift on the boots that I wear. So like, I'm just like this humongous Prince walking around in a giant purple coat. You've probably seen me if you've been to a comic convention.
Yeah, I'm going to drop where you find both of y'all just at the same time. So Ed Greer, you do the Screen Junkies, you know, you hop on the Screen Junkies, and you have your own podcast as well. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's called Nerd Goat Podcast, and we've had you and Danny on, which are very popular episodes. Danke.
Oh, yeah,
Danke well, Shane.
Yeah, well.
It's just a dive into people's favorite fictional character.
Yeah.
And that can be, you know, we've done Tarzan, we've done Conan, we've done characters from video games, Spider-Man, the Daredevils, the this and that. We've done Elaine Bennis from Seinfeld.
Was oh, wow.
Barbara
oh,
Gray's wow. Nerd right. Coat. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just, you know, people who swing on webs and punch people through walls. It's certainly whatever fictional character. And we find that when people come on and they really get a chance to just go nuts. Mm-hmm. You know, your significant other always hears your dumb screed.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
whatever you oh, like. Yeah. It's our guest opportunity. Funny people like yourselves. And I want to invite you on it right now.
I will definitely be
right.
On
no,
it.
No yeah. podcast business.
I know, right?
I'm shutting it down.
No, but honestly, it's embargo.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So that's what we do. Me and my man, Ron Swallow. We just let somebody vent on their favorite fictional character. And we kind of James Lipton it up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a great concept, and it was really fun to be on. Elaine isn't as weird to me as someone whose favorite character is Tarzan. I didn't know Tarzan had stands like that.
Oh, that was a Jackie Cation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and sometimes we'll have people who will have, like, they won't have this giant comprehensive, like, oh, I know everything about this character, but they'll like a certain iteration of them. Like, she liked the Johnny Weissmuller swimming Tarzan movies.
Yeah.
You know, from back in the days, because
that's
back when she was like, you know, her grandpa would show them to her and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
nice.
We get to see why people connected with some of these characters rather than just nerding out and standing out about the character and doing some roll call of their feats or whatever. It ends up being a deep dive into the personality of the person, which is, I think, the special part about the show.
Nice. It sounds like you are qualified. Your resume stacks up to
right?
be a co-host. and I'm going to turn over to Aaron. And, you know, you have quite a few podcasts, don't you?
I have two, and I guest on a lot of others. I did a couple guest spots this week, and I got a couple more later on. My podcast, though, the two of them are Aaron Explains the Universe, which it started off with just me giving dating advice and like talking about like dating mishaps I've had in the past. To now, I talk more about like social issues, things going on in the world. I'll ramble about a lot of other stuff too, but I always bring it back to dating somehow. My other podcast, which is on hiatus until I find a different format for it, I want to do video for it. It's called Stupid Movie Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. I remember Stupid Movie Tuesday.
Stupid Movie Tuesday is when I watch a movie, either new or old, and I give my honest review on it. The episode that a lot of people like is my Suicide Squad one. And then the one people like because I'm just so angry about it was Gods of Egypt. I didn't even make it through the whole movie. I watched that one live as I did it. And, like, if you want to hear, there's not a lot of cursing on this podcast that I'm on right now. But if you want to hear somebody cursing, find the Stupid Movie Tuesday where I'm doing Gods of Egypt. You will see me at my absolute angriest. It's driving on the 405 angry.
That's like a regional reference that everyone outside of LA is not going to get.
But it's whatever freeway is in your town that you hate. That's what it was. So
it's like, you didn't like those Irish Egyptian gods?
No, not at all. Because like deep down, like my family like is from Egypt. So like when I watched it, I was like, wait a minute, wait. This is not right at all. And like just on a mythology standpoint, I'm like, this is terrible. Jaime Lannister, the actor who plays him, because I can't pronounce his actual name, he played Horus in that movie.
Horus.
Yeah. Mm. Jamie Lannister played.
Don't spoil it. Let him go see that.
Yeah, go see it. Go see it. Sigourney Weaver's in it for some reason.
Whatever. Like, Sigourney Weaver's my forever crush. Yeah. So she can be in whatever movie. She can be in Black Panther, honestly.
There was an actor in Black Panther that was in Gods of Egypt too.
Chadwick Boseman. He was
Chadwick Boseman. He was Toth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Chadwick Boseman had basically was like, hey, I guess he needs to pay rent that month and he hadn't booked Black Panther yet.
All right. Well, speaking of Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
And black superheroes. Woo, segue of the year. Miles Morales is who we're here to talk about.
That's right.
Miles Morales is fun. We're going to get into the deets and the beginning of it. But Miles Morales is cool in the sense that I remember when he came on the scene. I think everyone in this room remembers it. And I remember when he first came in being unimpressed, not by the character itself, but on the, for the non-versed fans, I'll like walk it back and explain everything I'm mentioning. But the fact that he existed in the Ultimates universe and not 616. Mm-hmm. So that, and I was like, okay, y'all doing it, but y'all not really doing it. And what that means for those who might not know the difference between the 616 universe and the Ultimate universe, Marvel established that there's multiple universes, and the 616 universe is basically the main canon, everything that dates back to Marvel that you basically know and love. And Ultimate's universe is where all the Ultimate comics were from, Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate X-Men, Ultimate Avengers, and they used to be separate. There was a weird moment in time when all the drawings in the Ultimate Comics looked like everyone who ended up being cast in the movies.
You know,
Wolverine looked like Hugh Jackman.
Yep. Samuel L. Jackson got the job to be Nick Fury because they drew him like that. Mm-hmm. They like the Nick Fury in the Ultimate Universe came first.
Didn't quite work out for Eminem in Wanted.
No, not at all.
And basically the thing that I liked about the Ultimate Universe in the first few years was they did seem to take it like just that tiny, they turned up the realism dial
a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then they leaned on that mug and it went to 12.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
Ultimates universe was great
when it first started.
By the time Miles was getting into it, though,
it was not falling off because when Miles got into it, and I think we'll get into this later, at some point, Captain America took over America. They split it up at some points. Peter Parker was dead. The X-Men, it was just off the rails. It was like X-Men 3 bad when it came to the X-Men.
Also, I'm going to pause because I like to kind of make it a little inclusive for the nerds who might not have that deep knowledge. The reason I said it didn't work out for Eminem is if you read the original Wanted comic, he's drawn like Eminem. Because they drew the comic in the way that they drew it with how they would want it to be cast in the movie.
They drew it anticipating a movie coming out. Yeah. So they drew it to have certain people get cast for it. Like if you read The Boys, there's a character who looks exactly like Simon Pegg in there.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrote the foreword to like one of the trade paperbacks.
Yeah. And if, unfortunately, he's too old to play it now.
He's aged out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I can. Whatever. It's past and they already cast him. But I auditioned for Mother's Milk.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah,
I was.
Really?
And I requested that one, but I'm too young.
Yeah.
Like Mother's Milk is an older character, I was like, I just want. Like I'm getting to a point where I've been taking some swing at a few superheroes, and to me, I'm just happy that I'm taking them swings.
The most recent notable audition that I did was for Ronnie DeVoe for the New Edition movie. I'm tall, I'm light skinned, I can dance. I was like, I want to do Ronnie DeVoe, and obviously I didn't get it. But like, yeah, you know?
There was a part of me that was going to say, how did that go? And I was like, well, the movie came.
Well, the movie's out already.
That's why it's always funny when you do tell people you audition for something that's out there. Like, how'd
it
do?
Well, come on.
Am I in it?
Well, they cast me as an orc, so don't worry about it. But it's funny that you guys were talking about the movie connection, because one of the things about the Ultimates in specific was that was, honestly, if you really look back on it, that was them giving Mark Miller a chance to shape what was going to be their cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. Their Iron Man is very much like the Tony Stark that we got in the movies. Their Captain America is a little hyped up. He can like throw a Volkswagen instead of just jump out of the way of one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The 616 Captain America got to jump out the way. The Ultimate's line, he'll kick a hole in your fuselage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He don't care.
They made Wolverine a little taller.
Well, yeah. They tried to do a lot of stuff. So, but basically, then it started to, like, even they had things like Captain America when he first woke up and he saw Nick Fury, he was like, ain't no high ranking black officers right now.
That made me, in a strange way, it made me feel good when he did that, because Captain America 616, his real superpower is not being completely racist as a product of the 40s, you know? Like, think about it. He's not racist at all. And like, a little bit of that bothers me a little bit. Not even because
you heard it here first. Aaron really wants Nick Fury to be racist.
No, I don't want him to be. I just want him to be more realistic in the case. Like, he doesn't have to be like deviantly, like devilishly racist, right. But like just subtle stuff, like, oh, there's a woman on the team, or like, you know,
right. I mean,
there's a Negro in charge. What's this about? You
know, that was always my beef with Captain America, when they was like, yo, this dude's an ill ass military leader. So when he comes to like 1996, let's say, or 2018, or 2017, he's gonna be the dude who knows up on it. He's like, yeah, we need to get some of those Sherman tanks. We don't even use Sherman tanks no more, homie.
Not at all.
We have evolved all of our technology. We need to get some of those M14 rifles. We on like M17.
Exactly.
It's fragmentation grenades.
Well, we don't even pilot our own stuff. These dudes in Sierra Vista piloting drones.
So towards the end of the Ultimate line, though, when they turned the violence up to 11 and they started killing off stuff, I do believe, though, for a segment of people, I think that Miles Morales did kind of resuscitate for certain people, because I came and read the whole run way afterwards, and I was kind of moved at how they had – kind of set him up with his own Uncle Ben story of him thinking he could have helped. He gets his powers well before Spider-Man is dead, but he chooses to not use them because he doesn't think that life is for him.
Yeah.
And his dad and stuff pressure him to be like,
and
yo.
And he had some issues, like, because like his dad went to jail. His uncle, who he's very close to, went to jail also. And he was like, well, what if being a criminal is like genetic or something like that?
Yeah.
He had those. He was just a young kid. He got his powers. Peter got his powers at 15. That's always been whatever universe. He was always 15. Right. Miles got his at 13.
Which is, it really makes a difference.
Those 2 years make a big difference. And he was always like, well, you know, my dad and my uncle, like, I idolized them and stuff, you know, but they went down this wrong path. My father shaped up, but, you know, his uncle's still kind of a criminal.
He's the prowler.
Prowler of the Ultimate Universe.
Who is a high-tech thief. He, like, steals a bunch of, which is how Miles gets his powers. The prowler is stealing some stuff from Oscorp, one of the spiders. Number 42 for Jackie Robinson, I guess.
There you go.
I don't know.
I think so. I honestly think so.
I will say they have made like nice little references like that. Like, for example, I bring this up a lot. One of my favorite Black Panther runs, The Most Dangerous Man Alive, when he is in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, he's Daredevil. He's
there as Mr. Okonkwo, which is the one of the main characters in Things Fall Apart, a Nigerian novel, which is really great.
Really
by
great.
By Chinua Achebe.
I read that in high school.
Yeah, I did too.
I only got aware of it when the Roots did the album for the same name.
You're like, all right, cool. I did it too because I had this English assignment, which, like, looking back, I was like, oh, that was a pretty tight one. It was like they wanted you to read a story written by an author from your, you know, heritage nationality.
Okay.
So Chinua Achebe is Nigerian, Igbo. And I was like, oh, no brainer. And my dad was so hyped. And it was like the first time I seen him, like, real excited about something I was doing.
And then the next day you told him you'd be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, and he was like,
out of the family.
And then yeah. And look at this Dragon Ball Z tattoo.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He like threw away like the lab coat he had thinking I was going to be a doctor.
Just crumpled it up. Yeah. Like how Spider-Man be leaving his uniform
his suit,
in the trash.
The trash yeah, yeah. And he walks away in the rain. Yeah. Doctor no more.
Oh, man. So let's jump into this deep dive real quick just to get the first bit out of the way before the break. Miles Morales is a fictional comic book superhero appearing in publications by the American publisher Marvel Comics. We all know Mar-Vell, as Crystal calls them. And it actually cracks me up. I love that she calls him Mar-Vell.
Which is in his own character.
Yeah, yeah. As one of the characters known as Spider-Man. The character was created in 2011 by writer Brian Michael Bendis and artist Sarah Pichelli. With Bendis and Marvel then editor-in-chief Axel Alonso drawing inspiration from both then U.S. President Barack Obama and American actor-rapper Donald Glover. I feel like they add Barack just to make it sound like it has more. More. It's really like...
It was straight up Donald Glover because like Barack was president for 3 years
As
already,
someone who was there know? And like when the mix and the whole idea was bubbling, it was Donald Glover. Like it's funny that they add Barack there. I think it's kind of corny, but it was after it really is.
Yeah. At that time, everything black and positive had something to do with Barack Obama for some reason. They always tag that
but
on.
But it was Oprah for years, so I'd say buck up, buckos.
You know what?
Yeah. It really was Donald Glover. And, you know, if you're wondering why, it's like, why do they sound so sure? The fuse was lit after Donald Glover in an interview said how one time he mentioned that he would love to play Spider-Man.
Right.
And he just was targeted by racist trolls. And you can tell it was 2011 because this was such a new idea to be targeted by racist trolls.
Who would think that people in 2011...
Yeah.
In this day and age would be racist on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But like that was the big thing. He was like every day, you know, I went online and I would just be, you know, it was like you'd never be Spider-Man, N-word, this, that. And he said that didn't get to him. What really got to him was one guy who like tried to come at him and was like, "Hey, look, Donald, the reason that, you know, there would never be a black Spider-Man is because, you know, there aren't any black kids like that." And he was like, that got to him more than just the blatant racism, because like someone really doesn't believe that there could be a kid in New York who doesn't have a father and had an uncle die who is really into science. Like, and I oftentimes repeat that with on paper, that's a black character.
That's
like
a black character.
Like you'd be like, that's Patrice Parker, right?
Yeah. If you told me that if you pitched that character with my eyes closed and you said no father, like sadly I was like, okay, he might
yeah.
Be a black
I mean,
guy,
well,
you know?
It's funny because it is, not to harp on this fact, but it's a common stereotype, but lots of times when stereotypes like that work in the favor of like lending a new character, people
exactly.
are like, no, like it's used to put us down, but when it's like, oh no, this Peter Parker kid actually, you know, that is like something that we can kind of relate to. It's like, no, that's ours.
No.
Well, and overall, though, I think the way that they introduce Miles, I think they try really hard to give him parents, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And give him,
which
like,
I really liked,
and get him into like charter school and stuff that, because that weighs heavily on him. Like, you're 13 years old, you got bit by a dang spider, and you got all these weird powers, all this stuff, but you're just trying to keep your head down and make sure you don't get kicked out of the school.
Right.
I literally, on some real stuff, I cried when I read the issue where he gets into the school and his parents are super happy that he's going to actually have a future and stuff. He's not going to have to go down the path his dad did. He's not going to have to do whatever his mom was doing. Because his mom seemed to be an accomplished woman. But the bottom line is, it's easier for women of color a lot of the time. Obviously, they have their own travails. But a dude of color looks like a lion in the office to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, his brother, I mean, and they find out later his dad went to S.H.I.E.L.D. and did all the stuff after his criminal past. So it's like, he's hiding a dope secret agent thing from his kid. Not just any sort of criminality.
Right.
He's hiding it in the form of like, oh, I'll just let you think I used to be a criminal. But actually, I used to save the world like every Tuesday.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want it. He wants his kid to just be a regular kid.
Just be a regular kid.
School.
It's something that Peter Parker never really got. You know, he actually...
Right.
Like, Peter just went head on and being a superhero and stuff, but Miles is like, look, I've had these powers for a couple of years. I kind of just want to be a regular kid because it's like I've seen how dangerous being a superhero can be with like everything going on in the Ultimate Universe.
Well, that's the crux of the Spider-Man mythos. And right. I feel like that's why it's so relatable to a lot of nerds and why so many people, because everyone can think of being overwhelmed in school, trying to balance everything. So to imagine also having superpowers, as cool as that be, you can plainly see that. Like, imagine a kid, who are you going to relate more to? The billionaire who used his billions to make a dope suit, the guy who got blasted with science and turns into a beast, or this kid who's just trying to make it all work. Like, that's just hands down one of the reasons
I can relate to the kid who can make it all work, because those other two things would get me to die, you know. There's no bomb that's gonna explode around you and you're gonna get magical powers from that at all. You're gonna die.
Yeah, but like, in the back of your head you're like, I hope.
Yeah. Oh, I still want my mutant powers to manifest. Like, to this day.
Or you go to the dentist, just take out the radiation smock.
Yeah. You ever make a fist and just want claws to pop out and stuff like that?
I mean, that's kind of why I love My Hero Academia so much, because that's my biggest fear, is that powers do exist and I just don't have them.
Oh, yeah.
Just like,
oh, you're part of the 20%.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, you know, I honestly know that they exist because Tony Robbins has a career and Usain Bolt. Like, in the same, we're living in a world where there's a dude who's faster than everybody. Nobody's checking his meta gene. He's just way faster than everybody, always just fast enough to win. That's Dash. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's like some real stuff.
He pulls back just
a little bit. And like, I don't want to diss Tony Robbins, but that dude sucks. And his whole style is chump.
Yeah.
And he's straight bawling because he has stadiums of people come hear him be stupid. And then they run across some coals and they give him money. That's powers. I don't care what you think. That's powers.
That's my favorite sequence of words. Like, I don't want to diss him, but he sucks.
Right?
All right, we'll get into when Miles Morales first appeared and get this whole thing started right after these messages. Welcome back to Nerdificent. Still got Ed Greer and Aaron Powell here, and we're going to talk about how Miles Morales first appeared in Ultimate Fallout number 4, which was dated August 2011, which followed the death of Peter Parker, as you heard us say earlier. So as an Afro-Latino teenager, Miles is the second Spider-Man to appear in Ultimate Marvel, obviously the first being
Peter Parker.
In the Ultimate Universe, up until, like, you know, the mainstream Marvel Universe, aka 616, kind of smushed him in there. We'll get into that later. Although Miles is featured in the Ultimate Comics Spider-Man comic book series, he's not the lead in the Ultimate Spider-Man TV series, which debuted in 2012 because Disney XD was scared. Now they see him mad racks because he is the main cast in this feature film, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which, have y'all seen it yet?
Not yet.
I haven't either.
Not yet.
Dang, we're behind the embargo wall.
We're behind the embargo wall and we got nothing to say.
Yeah. But then y'all synced it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I haven't synced it yet. I'm going to see it on the 11th.
Like, I'm going to a press screening, I think the same day, actually.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I might see you there.
But I just want to make it clear. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but I... If you are a person who knows all about Miles Morales and you watch that trailer, you see that they do a lot of things that are canonized, but they do it fresh in a quick way in there. So I'm looking forward to seeing like the abbreviation of it. But I just wanted to touch on when he did come out, or rather when the Ultimate Marvel Comics line with Peter Parker came out. One of the things they did to try to differentiate himself was to make him like have long hair and be a little more emo. But over the course of time, it was, to me, they were just doing the stories over again and just refitting his villains with different sort of looking stuff and blah, blah. I think they really committed to the idea of the Ultimate line on a certain level. Besides Ultimate, the Ultimates. Ultimates is different than Avengers.
Yeah.
And Ultimate Spider-Man with Miles as the lead is different than Ultimate Spider-Man or regular Spider-Man.
Yep.
Those two books are the most different and ultimate of them, which is why Ultimates is the basically Marvel cinematic universe, and Spider-Man is getting his own movie.
Yeah.
They were the things that survived.
Yeah.
Because the Ultimate X-Men did not. They started off good, and then it just went way off the rails.
Yeah, Ultimate X-Men was just like, and I also think that towards the end, Ultimates went off the rails because Jeff Loeb was,
he
was going through some stuff, and it appeared on the page.
Took his life problems were definitely showing up on the page, and like, it was a weird thing because like I'm a huge comic book fan and I'm a completist too, so that makes it worse. So I kind of have to get this thing, and I just gave up toward the end of it. I was just like, I can't do this.
I could mess with. They had a mute Black Panther with like adamantium claws coming out of the back of his hands, but they were real short.
And Hawkeye was like Bullseye at this point.
Which almost I kind of dug that for a second. Like he was flicking his fingernails at people.
Yeah,
they killed his family and he flicked his fingernails at him. I was like, all right, that's hardcore.
Yeah,
One of the things that was really dope about Miles was like they let him have his Uncle Ben moment. His Uncle Ben moment was Spider-Man dying at the hands of the Green Goblin and cops, which was a very convoluted. Like he got beat up by the Green Goblin, then got shot by some cops because he was too slow from getting beat up. Like
I know, what's like, up with this? Man, y'all chose the death of the wrong Spider-Man, I guess. Gosh, we're just getting too deep.
But yeah, so the bottom line is like that one, him having a feeling that if I had been spidery. Or sought out some training or did some spider stuff instead of
he
being a scared little.
He could have helped somebody.
Punk, I could have helped Spider-Man specifically. Right. And so he kind of, that's his Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
And I think that makes the comics dope for that section. You know, and then he has some adventures. He got little powers like the camouflage power.
Yeah.
Venom blast power that he learns.
Yeah. Did they retcon that? Or does he still
No, he still has them. They don't use it as much depending on, you know.
So it feels like that.
It's kind of like the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The more you whip it out, the less special
it is. It's kind of like Gambit's powers. Like Gambit he doesn't always just charge things up with energy and make them explode. He has a power that is like called hypnotic charm, where if you don't know about it, he can just basically persuade you to do anything because he's so charming. Depending on the writer, no one mentions it.
You know what? I must be, in more ways than one, I'm Jabba the Hutt, because them mind tricks don't work on me.
Yeah.
I ain't never been a Gambit fan.
No.
Utato. Get out of here.
Dude. Mr. and Mrs. X is a really good book right now.
I bet it is, because Rogue is cool, and she can save that fool like Beyonce, but like Jay-Z's cool, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like...
I know. I used to be a big Gambit stan, and then he was bad in Marvel versus Capcom, and I let him go. I was like, all right, if you can't be good in fighting games, I can't deal with you because, you know, Iron Man is out here bodying people on the regular. We basically discussed how they kind of swapped out the Spider-Man. It was a great story arc that happened, and that was kind of what was cool about the Ultimate, even though I kind of gave it flack for not like really, quote unquote, really doing it, Ultimates was a space where you could try new things. And, you know, it kind of was like the NXT for all my wrestling heads because the stuff that worked, it seemed like they kind of trickled over, like 616 ended up with a black Nick Fury.
Yep.
But I think that had more to do with the Ultimate Nick Fury launching into the cinematic universe, and then this new thing, which I will probably rant about in the end, where they want to homogenize the comic book universe with the cinematic universe.
But how they introduced the black Nick Fury in 616 is
dumb.
It's really dumb. He's Nick Fury's illegitimate black son. Who's
it literally
dark-skinned.
Is the Kurt Angle, what's his face?
Yeah. It's basically my black son.
When you thought of Kurt Angle, I thought of Strom Thurmond.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, let's pull it back. We're getting too nerdy. I feel like some people are like, wait, what are you talking
about?
Slow down. And then that's a whole nother podcast.
If they have to look up actual human history from this comic book stuff, that's a win for the universe. But Miles Morales, what they did in the Ultimates universe, and I don't know if we do we have to keep it to the end, because I do want to talk about how, not about the cinematic universe homogenization, but like how they try to fold him from his adventures from the Ultimates line into the Marvel Universe is basically as stupid as that Nick Fury thing.
It was a press move because, like, that. So Marvel has events. If you don't know that Marvel has events, they have a lot of them, especially recently. These are just big comic book moments where they'll have, like, big crossovers, and they, at the end of them, there's consequences, and then there's, like, things that happen that affect the rest of the universe. There was it was called Secret Wars. Mm-hmm. Was it?
Yeah.
Secret Wars is basically, hey, Miles, we're bringing you over here.
Yeah, buddy.
Basically.
Oh, and you know what I called it? I called it like, you know how like, okay, this maybe some nerds don't like sports ball, but when a team just decides to get crappy for a long time so that they can lose a bunch and go higher in the draft to get a player, that's exactly what it seemed like the Marvel universe. They tanked the universe so they could trust the process and draft Miles
Morales. Because the storyline was basically the different Earths in the Marvel universe were colliding with each other.
Yep.
And then they all collided, and then there was like one Earth with every universe on it, and Dr. Doom was the ruler.
Yeah, he was the god of it.
Yeah, the Human Torch was the sun. It was weird. This is how they simultaneously got rid of the Fantastic Four and brought Miles Morales over to the main universe. It was a long and convoluted storyline.
Yeah.
And it made no sense.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It was funny because people didn't know what to make of it. It didn't seem like people liked it, but people were like, I think I know what the end game is, so we're rocking with it. And here's some important things I want to note because, you know, when we talk comics, I like to link up the cinematic stuff with significance that you might have missed if this is your first time hearing it or seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, first off and foremost, I want to, like, you know, highlight the exact thing mentioned that Bendis kind of credits Donald Glover for. And it was actually seeing him in Community in the episode Anthropology 101. Donald Glover is wearing Spider-Man pajamas. And it was a reference to the event we were seeing. And Bendis said that he looked fantastic and he saw him in the costume and thought, I would like to read that book. And he made it. So there are some stuff Bendis has done that I've been like not really messing with. But him doing that, him like actively, he like Bendis was at the point, he was like that dude at Marvel that he was like, oh Spider-Man's black now.
He had so, that kind of power that was like, okay, well, I'm going to make a black Spider-Man. Yeah. And we're like, all right, cool.
Yeah. And but, him using his power for that is why, like, I'm like, all right, you're good in my book.
I definitely agree with that. And one thing, I'm not trying to push back in any way, but it was also the perfect storm.
Oh, yeah.
It's the perfect storm because that Ultimates Peter Parker was getting pretty whack.
He was. Yeah.
He was getting pretty whack.
They were doing the clone saga again.
Dude, that's what I'm saying, like, right? So they went deeper to the Rolodex of whackness.
Yeah.
And they was trying to find some new stuff to flip and bounce, and it wasn't cool.
Yeah.
So it was a perfect, like, this book's failing. If we do this Black Spider-Man and everybody hates it, so what?
Yeah.
And you remember, Marvel used to launch a line every minute.
And for some reason, still, every time we touch on this, someone got mad at me last time I ranted about this on the How Stuff Works Network. It was on the Zeitgeist. But they were launching so many things, but nobody was reading that Black Panther run, and then they canceled it on your boy. I like straight ripped it out your boy's pull list. Still mad about that forever. Don't act like you like Black Panther now, y'all.
Because like Black Panther has some great books. He has some great runs, but like because nobody was reading it.
There was an oversaturation of comics at the time.
It was.
There was like, I think, especially at this time that we're talking about, about 5 Wolverine comics. You had many Blades in the stands. You had the Wolverine. You had Wolverine in X-23. You had Daken.
Yep.
Everyone remember Daken?
Yep. Daken, yeah.
Actually, I like Daken more than X-23. I was rocking with Daken.
I could see that.
Now, between X-23 and Daken, I like X-23 because her storyline is more rich. They skip a big portion of her history from like the NYX series, which is basically her origin story, and then she had another comic from that. Daken, I liked, and then they put him on the Dark Avengers and made him Dark Wolverine, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, it's just funny to me. It's funny to me how often Marvel makes some weird legacy version of their characters, because if you think about it, DC really started that stuff.
DC started
with Blue Beetle and Flash and Green Lantern.
DC has had legacy characters all the way back to like the 50s, though,
yeah.
because like Flash, Barry Allen, is a legacy character.
Right,
he's the second Flash.
Right.
Marvel is just now getting into legacy characters, and even still, they just still don't know how to nurture those characters right because they're bringing Wolverine back.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, dude, and let me go off on a tiny rant. Hot claws.
Yeah,
you got hot claws. Your claws could cut through anything, but now they hot.
Now they hot. Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I've never not bought a comic book based on the cover, but once I saw those yellow claws come out of his head, I was like, I'm not buying that.
But yeah, so basically, for those who want to, I feel like we're going to be doing a lot of sidebars because there's just three thick nerds in here.
We in here, man.
But Dakin is Wolverine's son.
Yeah, you can note
that
him
came
by
out
his...
of nowhere.
Yeah, you can note him by his third claw that comes from the underside.
Oh, that was
of
so
his
dumb.
Wrist.
It made no sense.
That was like very just like in a bad spot. Like like it's just. I'm like, how does this work? Like, I get X-23, her third claw's in her foot. I get that. But Dakin having his right underneath his wrist, I'm like, no, that's just, somebody thought that looked cool and just
and
went with
what's
it.
What's up with comic books and everything coming out your wrist?
Yeah.
They love your wrist.
They love
There's
wrist.
A place for things to come out.
And if you didn't know, X-23 is basically a clone of Wolverine and adoptive daughter. And they kind of exist. It was when it was claw season.
Actually,
they had so many.
Actually, and I hate being a guy to say actually. Actually is.
Well, he didn't say so it's not
I know.
Bad.
It's X-23. X-23 is recognized as his sister.
Oh, really?
Since they're clones. That's his sister, not daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just that paternal relationship starts to show because he's older than her. But
right.
Yeah,
he's an older brother, but like that's they're more siblings than anything.
Okay. Yeah. And this was like Sun season as well, because just to take a hop to another franchise, this is right around when Damian started popping up in DC.
Yeah.
And Damian had a rough go at it because he was bad, then he was kind of good, and then they killed him.
Yeah. Once people started liking him, they Jason Todd-ed him.
Oh, man.
which is so weird because, like, I honestly, I know we're supposed to be talking about Miles, but that run was interesting to me because they had Dick Grayson playing Batman because Batman was lost in space and time.
Right.
Yeah.
And Dick Grayson had to watch Damian every second of every day because Damian would literally chop somebody's head off or kill dudes. It was like good cop, bad cop.
It was
with a little kid.
It was the perfect wrench to throw in the Batman storyline because Batman also was getting stale because they had 20 Batmans. They had Black Batman, they had Batgirl,
They had Batman Incorporated, which Bruce Wayne wanted Batman in every country.
They had Batman React World.
Yeah.
I know it's been known that Batman has a big ego, but when you want one of you in this dude think he McDonald's.
Basically, he franchised Batman. He was all right, we're going to have a Starbucks Batman on every block. Yeah.
2 for $5 Batarangs coming around, like McRibs.
Like DC were really trying to sell toys with that because everybody had a different suit.
All right,
so let's come back to Miles. And let's just go straight to the basics. So we explain kind of the origins of that and kind of why. And Bendis made this happen. So let's talk about Miles. Miles Morales, he was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York City.
Yep.
And he was the 13-year-old son of an African-American father and a Puerto Rican mother. That was something that was cool, too, because I like that they're like, we're not just going to make him just the black kid. We're going to make him Afro-Latino, get a little, kill two representation birds with one stone.
Well, also because Quesada and actually Alonso is Cuban. I think Quesada is some sort of Latinx person. So the bottom line is they could see that. But then, the black thing was to make him notably different because they'd already had Miguel O'Hara from 2099. Spider-Man 2099.
He was the first Latino Spider-Man, Miguel O'Hara. And also, and this is just something that I saw, it was just like the diversity of New York because having a black dad and a Puerto Rican mom is a very common thing in cities like New York, Chicago, stuff. All right, if they're going to be in New York, let's make it as New York as possible,
And speaking of which, as far as you talked about the cinematics and we had talked about this, they do gank a bunch of stuff from Miles' interpretation of being Spider-Man and throw it in Homecoming.
Yeah.
Like his big old friend, Ned.
Ned is ganky.
Ganky.
That was, I was like, we get Miles in this. And Donald Glover actually plays Prowler in Homecoming.
Which is a nice, perfect, just balled up nod at Miles.
It's pretty beautiful.
Yeah, because you got the person who inspired Miles playing Miles's,
ne'er-do-well uncle.
And we know that there is a Miles in the Marvel Cinematic Universe because when he webs him up, he's like, hey, man, I don't want those kinds of weapons in my town. I got a nephew here.
Yeah. Boom.
So I'm like, boom, we got him.
Yep. Yeah, they set it up, set
they
it up,
up.
Down. And I mean, the back weaving we're doing with the Secret World hubbub is we're already creating a world where Peter Parker and Miles can coexist. So who knows what's going to happen in two or three movies.
In the PS4 game, we got Miles already in there.
Yeah,
absolutely. So so getting to everybody getting cinematic, the Enter the Spider-Verse has a version of the story that we know from the Ultimates line.
Yes.
But also they're in putting in the Spider-Verse.
Yep.
Which the Spider-Geddon event, basically these dudes this guy Moreland and these dudes from another dimension.
They called the Inheritors.
Yeah, the Inheritors eat spider people. So if you have spider powers or you're a spider totem in any reality, they will come after you. So yeah. There's a Spider-Man who is a Captain Universe. He's got the Captain Universe mm-hmm. powers, and he's basically all-powerful. There's Spider-Ham.
Spider-Ham.
Spider-Gwen. Cindy Moon.
Yeah, it's like they have different Spider-Man for different units. Like mm-hmm. Uncle Ben is a Spider-Man. There's anime Spider-Man. There's mm-hmm. like even the Spider-Man meme is part of this Spider-Verse. They yeah. include each and every version of Spider-Man that you can possibly think of. And yes, Spider-Ham is a pig, and it's hilarious. They have Spider-Monkey. They have Spider-Wolf.
And I thought it was telling to harken back to that ultimate line of Captain America being like, there's not a Negro captain, whatever. Yeah. They have a thing where Miles has an adventure with old school Spider-Man. And when he pulls off his mask to show that he's black, old school Spider-Man goes, wait a minute, you're a... And then they go, oh, man, maybe old school Spider-Man is kind of old school in bad ways. And then he goes, a teenager.
Yeah.
They hit you with one of them.
I'm like, oh, no. And then I'm like, oh, okay.
They got us. They played with our emotions. And we'll talk about how they played with our emotions even more after these messages. All right. Welcome back. Still sitting here with Aaron Powell and my man Ed Greer holding it down. This has been a fun one. It's been like a open conversation, dropping facts instead of going, you know, in the normal order. But that's what happens when, you know, when we're tapping in. It feels like instead of an episode where we're following along with an expert, we have three passionate experts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sorry if you can't follow along. If this one's a little harder for you to follow along, I implore you to tweet us. We will keep the conversation going online.
Please do.
But I feel like we're doing a good job of like weaving in the top and bottom. But you know, one thing we didn't touch on, and I did say we were going to talk about playing with emotions, is how people reacted to Miles. And once again, this was another thing that we were all so luckily able to experience live and direct. And it was funny when while like Stanley gave it the okay thumbs up and people like us really loved it, you had those fans out there that do what they do anytime any diversity initiative launches a diverse character or switches up or retcons and adds something. You had people complaining that, you know, this is just a move for political correctness and you know, you're just trying to check PC. And, you know, there's many takes that people have, many responses. And mine is always, yep, so what?
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Yeah.
Like you say it like it's a bad thing.
We want to be represented. So
that's like yelling at a dude in a Tesla, like, you're just trying to save the environment.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I always balk at and on that regard is when they go, okay, you're just doing this for diversity. You're just doing this for whatever reason. Well, everything is just for some reason. Everything is just for some agenda.
Yeah.
And up until very recently, the agenda has been, I don't want to call it white supremacy, but let's call it white A-OK.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's A-OK.
I like to call it that the one rule that most waves of business go by is called I'm white and I say so. That's usually the reason for a lot of things. And then when we get something, like it's a comic book character. It's a fictional character.
And he had his own separate but equal universe for a long time. Right. What more do you want?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They eased you into it. He didn't show up with your mom talking about, I'm your new daddy.
Yeah.
They eased him in.
Well, here's the funny thing about it. And here's my like less cynical way of doing it, because I try, you know, as I get deeper in the nerd space and as we become mm-hmm. more talking points, I try and like take a little bit of Schnepp energy, because you know mm-hmm. rest in peace John Schnepp. He always like one thing I want to take from him is just his ability to kind of like try and like ease you into it and not be the DMX of nerddom, which I am usually want to do. And the way I look at it is, it honestly, if we're not being just straight up cynical and we're just being facts for facts, before a certain time, media was made for white people.
Yep.
You knew you were creating it for a majority white person. You knew that the only people who needed to relate to it is white people. But what we all know now, especially as all of us are creators, we are writers, mm-hmm. we are actors, we work in this industry, so this isn't speculation. This is just facts. When you are creating art, you're trying to touch your audience. You're trying to touch your viewers, and you're going to do everything you can to make them feel included. You're going to do everything you can to look on that screen and have them go, oh, that can be me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for so long, a lot of people of color had to look at these white people on the screen and find themselves in them.
Right.
And in the end, we made it work. And now we're getting to a place where you're getting a lot of creatives who are like, let's switch it up. Let's, you know, create this character who, you know, black kids can look up to and go like, that's me.
Well, but, it's the old quote about how equality seems like oppression when you haven't, you know, and I think that when they see, they don't realize what it was like for me as a little kid to be like looking up to Thor. Thor don't look like nobody that's been in my family history for 150 years. And I got to see myself in this Norse dude with a belt made of cowhide and all this jazz. But you can't see yourself in a Brooklyn teenager when you probably was a teen in Brooklyn. Half these people who are balking at Miles lived Miles' life and say they can't see it themselves in him because of his skin. And I think that's a weird situation. But like you said, SNP energy, I feel as though it's also the fact that it's belying that jazz about there is no audience for this. When I've gone into several comic book stores and seen people unbitten, like sometimes I've walked into several comic book stores and had a diversity in comics conversation pop up as I walked in the store. I don't know what that's about. And all of a sudden it's time to talk about diversity in comics and how whack it is. And I'm just, one of the main talking points they say is black people and women and lesbians or whatever you want to connect with and Latinos, they don't really read comics. That's so untrue. That's so untrue.
So false.
And I would just love for that. That is also part of it. It is a business. There is a business reason behind a lot of this diversity, and it is to sell to people who are buying comics that do not happen to look like regular Peter Parker.
Yeah, and lots of times it's just dated information and that you just kept using. Like the example that a black-led, you know, movie can't do well overseas, and then
which is totally
we're so
false.
Surprised that Black Panther is this smash hit that is doing well.
Well, look at Fast and the Furious, which is a black-led movie. Like, get whatever you think out of your mind. Almost all of those actors in that movie, if they're not Latinx people, they're black. The Rock is black. I'm sorry.
It's hard for people to forget, but look up his daddy.
His name is Dwayne Johnson.
That's very true.
Dwayne Johnson, okay? His name is Dwayne Johnson. He is, like, no matter how much they've tried to poke up his, I don't think he's ever played a black person explicitly on film, but The Rock is a black dude. He was in a faction called the Nation of Domination based on the Nation of Islam.
Well, he's doing the new Schwarzenegger where it's like, this fool's name is John Matrix, and he got this thick German accent, but he got all the clearances with the Delta Force.
Right.
Oh, well.
They
do that with Dwayne right now.
They did
that
with Jean-Claude Van Damme in Street Fighter, too.
I brought it up, and then I...
I know, I remember that.
Yeah, and I called him Russian, even though he is not...
He's the muscles from Brussels.
Yeah.
But so when Miles, some of the reactions to him, yes, there were some people who definitely balked at him.
Oh, yeah.
And there were also the people, let's kind of talk about some of the people who are just like, well, why can't he just have his own thing?
Oh, let's,
You know what I mean? Because there are some people like that.
Yeah. And they really try and make that strong argument of like, yeah, if he had his own thing, that'd be better than just rebranding XYZ. And really, it's coming from the same place. I think, you know, I think there is a corner of people who, like, it is driven by racism. But I think there is another corner of people who just don't like change. I think it could, even if it was like, you know, Rami Schwartz, and it was like just this new Jewish kid who was Spider-Man.
Right.
People would be just as mad. And it was just because they're like, you're changing the thing that I like. And for some reason, I'm forgetting that I always have every future iteration of the thing. And what's funny is like people being mad about Miles Morales, they were actually doing that thing that people try and say, whereas like we are creating this own thing, but now it's a problem.
Now it's a problem because like they weren't saying, could they create their own thing with the 8 kid flashes we've had. No one's saying that, you know, but we get a black kid flash, now it's a problem. Why can't he have his own thing? Okay, a black dude running fast, kind of racist, but, you know, his name is Wally, which is an old black man's name, but, you know.
Well, I mean,
are you happy with the first one? That second one feel like a reach. Wally wanted him old black.
Wallace.
Okay, Wallace is Wally.
Willis West. Anyway, the thing I was thinking thinking about also is, given these legacy characters, personally, I think I am one of the few fans that I love the fact that he's Spider-Man. I love the fact that he has spider powers. Mm-hmm. But he's more than Spider-Man as well. It's almost like he's in a situation where Cassandra Cain, Batgirl, was in for a long time. Cassandra Cain as Batgirl was, for my generation, the best Batgirl ever. She was whooping all kinds of ass. And she could do so many things that Barbara Gordon could not do because she was different.
And she didn't speak.
Full stop, she was different. Yeah. She had a bunch of different stuff. And Miles has so many different things. I would love to see him become a character kind of like the Scarlet Spider or the Nightwing situation or something like that. If they did that organically, I would not think that that was capitulating to racism or whatever. Yeah. I would just think that was like, because if he's not going to be the Spider-Man of a universe, this whole two Spider-Man jazz does weird me out.
It does.
It kind of does. And what are you trying to do? It's like, it'd be like if there was a Daredevil that fought in this three-acre section of Kel's Kitchen and then a Daredevil that was chilling in Manhattan and had better suits and better clothes and stuff. That's kind of how they did it for a minute. Yeah. And now Spider-Man's a poor bum again. They made him lose his company to ground him a little bit. It's almost like people forget that what they love about Spider-Man is their own youth.
Yeah.
Their own youth. They were sitting on the bed at 14 and they was reading about this white Spider-Man going through his troubles, eating his wheat cakes, and that was their dude. You know what I'm saying? So basically the Ultimates line and this new Spider-Man is a way to reconnect Spider-Man with being 13 and 15 to show us a Spider-Man that's 13, 15, 16 going through little changes and stuff. Meanwhile, we have this older Spider-Man who's like 35, basically.
Right. Peter's like in his 30s now. And like,
and to keep him always broke and always having woman troubles and stuff, you 35, homie. Like, it's starting to look pathetic.
Pete needs to get it together. He has a PhD, he has a company and stuff. I'm like, Dr. Octopus did everything he can to get Pete's life together and then he threw it all away.
Dude, that's funny. He really is the superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, he got everything going for Pete. But then, like, we get Miles coming through and it's a fresh character. It's a fresh start. It's not, they're not rehashing the same stories with them and stuff.
Although I must say his new origin in the 616 is straight up trash.
They make him
have an Uncle Ben that's like this dude he just met.
Oh, I thought you were talking about 616 Miles. Because is a 616 Miles.
Yeah, but we'll let you read that so we don't spoil it for you. Yeah. But the way that Miles is introduced and gets the idea to be Spider-Man in the new 616 continuity that they put together is pretty trash and dumb. But as Aaron said, there is a Miles Morales who is not heroic at all.
Not at all.
Who lives in the 616.
Not at all. He there's in the Spider-Man 2 series. It's about like a five, six issues miniseries. Mm-hmm. And Miles Morales of the 616 universe. This is a sequel to the first Spider-Man where Peter Parker from 616 meets Ultimate Universe Miles.
And they have a little adventure.
They have a little adventure. Then he looks up if there's a Miles in the 616 universe and he finds out. Turns out, this Miles Morales is an adult, and he went to jail because, you know, his uncle went to jail, his father went to jail, he followed suit, tragically. He was in the jail with Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, whose life he saved in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So Wilson Fisk has a life debt to this Miles Morales, and they are basically just like crime buddies, I guess.
Wilson Fisk is basically Miles Morales of the 616, the older Miles Morales.
Right.
He's basically his Chewbacca. They just roll, ripping arms off, doing hardcore stuff.
Like in jail, they were like the homies and stuff, and like ripping arms off and stuff, and just like, you know. And then when Wilson Fisk got out of jail, he's like, if you need anything, I got you. And he used Taskmaster to kill his younger self from another universe to try to.
So, yeah, basically, so there is a Miles Morales in the 616 that could be explored as a villain character. And there's this Miles Morales, this young Miles Morales that's in the universe as Spider-Man. And like I said, I would love for them to come up with a fresh spider name for him. I would love for the rest of those spider dudes to get killed.
Yeah.
Most of the other spider dudes are whack. I like the spider women.
The spider women are awesome. They need to change some of the names because, like, there's like four spider women at this
Silk,
point.
Yeah,
there's
Silk.
No, I mean like their code names are actually Spider-Woman. Like there's like four of them right now.
Oh, wow.
Silk is different. Spider-Gwen, coincidentally, so it's also Spider-Woman. Spider-Gwen is just the name of the book.
But she chills out in her own universe, so it's not.
Yeah,
it's not,
she's in her own universe, so she's not around. There's Spider-Woman, who Jessica Drew. Mm-hmm. Spider-Woman.
From the Ultimates versus
Julie Carpenter.
Yeah, and she's like a clone of Peter. Is that the one that's a clone of Peter?
Yeah, there's two Jessica Drews. There's one that's a clone of Peter, and then that's the other one who went on adventures with her. She went on adventures while pregnant, which was awesome. That series was great. Then there's Arachne. There's Aranya. There's, these are
like,
all
how many ways can we play with this the is spider?
All Aranya. In, this is all in 616, all on the island of Manhattan.
Yeah, there's a little bit too much spider-ness. Me personally, I don't know what direction we're going to take this in, but I personally think that they should just, I got to say, they should re-separate the jazz. Because, like, Sydney Moon in her own world would be sick. They've shown that Sydney Moon on another world is a super spy.
Yeah.
And basically runs the world as a Dr. Doom type person who has everybody's powers.
Sydney Moon is one of those characters that, like, they just got introduced that was new that still was awesome because she led into the Spider-Verse storyline. And her origin was interesting because she got bit by the same spiders Peter got bit by, but she had to get put away forever in a room.
Well, that's how they explain how they never came out. That's the sentry thing.
Yeah.
They was away.
It was
in
just
the Blue
gone.
Marvel. But also, Miles Morales actually has a thing with Spider-Gwen. A lot of fans don't know that.
Yeah.
He has a little, they got a little.
They've been, because they're roughly the same age. Like, she's not aged up like Peter is. They're roughly around the same age. And they've had a little. Little romance going on
little,
and stuff.
Little smooching.
They saw a little bit of their future and stuff, too.
Yeah, but that's what gives them pause is because they saw that they're supposed to get married. And in one of the worlds, they're very much married, and they got all kind of these Afro-Latino whatever the
right.
hell Gwen Stacy is. Afro-Latino Irish future babies.
Right.
So they kind of was like, if you, and I like that as a part of Miles and their characters. Like, when you see your future, do you just embrace it right off the bat? Do you think, well, maybe I need to approach this more organically.
Yeah.
Or do you think about it as a possible future, like the time where he saw himself killing Captain America?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that tied him into the...
Yeah, that. The whole Civil War II, which was a garbage storyline.
I mean, I didn't like the fact that they wanted to revisit Civil War. Like, there was...
Well, there was a movie coming out.
And that Civil War wasn't as good as the original Civil War. And it was because it was rushed. They fell into the trap that I feel DC falls into, which is rushing their mythos to try and keep up with like what Marvel does. And Marvel was rushing their mythos because they're like, oh man, you know, Civil War was a real cool moment for comic book fans. I know they'll rush to see this. It's like, but if you build it, like imagine if they did Civil War now with how many folks were on that Infinity War poster. That was Civil War.
That would be the best airport scene ever.
Oh, yeah. You know, because that airport scene was mad empty this time.
Yeah.
We talked about Spider-Verse. I think Spider-Verse, none of us have seen it, but when we do see it.
When we do.
But I do believe from the trailer that they do incorporate things from the comic book telling of Miles Morales. And also, I think this might be... In the same way that, in my personal opinion, The Dark Knight features the best Joker I've ever seen, and I understand everybody want to act with the Mark Hamill and this and that and the other, but I'm just saying, for my money, that was the first Joker I felt that that was super cool, had his own chaos theory to him and all this jazz, and also presented a credible threat to Batman physically. All those, it checked those boxes for me, and I was fine with that, and that's the best one I saw. I think Miles Morales might do something like that for Miles in the Spider-Verse movie because they allow him to be himself for longer periods of time than he even is in his book. I mean, some people think he is, it's been quoted, he seems like a stranger in his own book. They seem to get into the motivations of everybody but him in certain times, especially later in the run, when they start thinking about his place. And I also think that they kind of coddle him a little bit. Like, he's not smart enough, and I think this is whack, but he's not, well, not whack, but I think it's interesting that he's not smart in that way enough to make his own web shooters. So they give him web shooters from S.H.I.E.L.D., but now to alleviate that term, because that might be something like, well, he's too dumb to make web shooters, that's racist or something. Now they've given him these weird webs that he shoots out of his like fingertips and wrists and stuff that he can swing on. It's like, he's making these weird, you know.
He looks like Best Genius from My Hero Academia. It's just like...
some of the later things that they're doing with Miles, I personally think are kind of whack. And I hope, like you were saying, the things that cinematic universe kind of pushes back on the comics, the comics push on the movies. I hope that the comics will get more like this version of Miles in the movie.
Well, I feel like the solution to Miles for the future of Miles is super, super simple. It's the same way they were able to bring back Black Panther with a vengeance and have it be strong. You got to put a black writer behind it, or even a Latinx writer, because you need someone writing from truth. You're saying that, you know, the main complaint is that he's following everyone else's motivations. It's because it's going to be kind of hard for a white writer to wonder what a 13-year-old Afro-Latino in a major city's motivations are going to be.
And one of the main things that Brandon Michael Bendis was a misstep in a lot of people's opinion was he had a big passage in there where somebody saw his mask get torn off. It was in the Ultimates line. Somebody saw his mask get torn off towards the bottom and towards his shoulders and stuff, and they saw that he had black skin under his spider suit. And this lady blogger was like, yeah, the Spider-Man is of color. Woo! Yeah. And Miles saw that and was like, I don't want to be the black Spider-Man. I just want to be Spider-Man. Yeah. It's like, that's straight out of a white writer's mouth.
Yeah,
that certainly is.
That was I don't see color on a comic book. Yeah.
Vomit.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
And it's so interesting because it is, just to touch on that, I feel like that has been pushed on people of color for so long. It's like, you don't want to be the and insert your race here version of this. You want to be, but you do want to be because you want people to look up to you. Like, yeah, I want to be the best black comedian so that other little black kids can look up and be like, I can be a comedian. That being said, I don't need my peers saying that I'm the best black comedian. Like, it's a nuanced relationship with that type of identity that, once again, like we said, can't be covered by a white writer, because I can understand why Bendis might think like, oh yeah, you don't want to be known as the black Spider-Man. It's like, yeah, no. I don't want to be known as the black Spider-Man to white people.
Right.
But to black people, I want to be known as the black Spider-Man. So to that blogger who was indeed black, he would have been like, yeah, power to the people.
Right. Up top,
but if it was like, little Miss, Janice at HuffPo, and she was like, black Spider-Man, he'd be like, pause.
Hold on, I'm just Spider-Man.
That's a whole nother rant that we don't have time for, which is about, nuance and approaching things and how, this era of wokeness and trying to be right doesn't allow open discussions about nuance because we rush to have the right answer and not actually understand what's being talked about.
And thinking that a lot of this stuff has an answer.
Yeah.
Is kind of silly too. You know what I mean? We're talking about complex human beings, nuanced situations. Every situation is different. So I would love to champion the return to nuance.
Yeah.
I would
because
love
there there might be another three black nerds in here who would be like, yeah, I like that because I don't want him to be the black Spider-Man. Exactly. And they wouldn't be wrong.
That's just how they feel. That's how you feel at the time. That's your opinion on it.
That'd be their appearance.
I was going to let it slide and I was going to whisper, Dan, cut that out.
Yeah, I tried to ignore it and then you corrected yourself.
Yeah, Dan was like, all right, we gotta look at this failure.
Okay, what would their appearance be? They got like the pants up to their nipples.
I imagine
and
this
stuff.
Guy has
they
got golf around his neck.
He got a whole bunch of beads. He reading poems.
Yeah,
and
he
stuff
smelled like patchouli, like patchouli and like cool water.
Why are you combining both of them? Why you got on too much cologne?
Yeah, that's what that appears.
He sells incense.
I'm just glad that they're giving Miles his due and they're allowing for Spider-Man and Miles to be for the rest of the universe, for the rest of the world to see their relationship.
Yeah,
this is me as the Spider-Man at 13. You are Spider-Man at 35. They make a very big point in the trailer to show that this Spider-Man has done it all.
Yeah,
and that's an interesting thing to be like, have that person with somebody who doesn't know anything. Yeah. But he's also a fish out of water. He's in a whole nother world. I think it's the 48 hours reboot that we've always wanted.
Oh, I never thought of it like that.
Well, unfortunately,
there's a new sheriff in town.
They're already doing a 48 hours reboot, and I'm so mad that I'm not already auditioning for it.
Oh, man.
So, before we go into, your plugs, which we're about to get into right before, I did want to mention this because I feel like y'all would agree with me.
Yeah.
Normally, we'd be like, what are your, picks of comics to intro you into Miles? But Miles is a pretty young, pun intended, character in the universe. And I think you can't go wrong with starting with his original arc.
Yeah.
And then dipping into maybe some Spider-Verse stuff if you want to hear some of the stuff we're talking about. And then just the new arc that starts after Secret Wars. I think you could probably skip Secret Wars.
You can skip Secret Wars. It's just long and convoluted and stuff. But you can. They even have a new ongoing series that's about to start very soon. If you just want to just get your feet wet with that as well.
Yes.
It's going to have a new writer. Brian Michael Bendis is not writing this because he's over at DC now. This is the first time Miles has ever been written by anybody else.
Yeah. Really? He kept the clutch on him for that long.
For the most part, because like he was part of the Champions, and I don't think Bendis wrote that run at all. And then he was also in
He's been written by other people in other books or team books or stuff like
but,
that.
But for the most part, his solo books was always Bendis. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is some. This is basically into
his life.
Have they announced
the writer yet?
It is a writer of color.
It is a writer of color, yes.
He's Muslim.
Yes.
Ooh, that's going to be a spicy take. Or it might just be a regular one. I don't want to be putting stuff on him.
But that's another thing. Just last things last. You do get with Miles Morales himself and with certain creators of color. You do get this whole, like, you got to represent everybody. That was one of the big things about Black mm-hmm. Panther and some of the other black heroes, that, especially in Marvel. But it's just like, you got to represent everybody. You know what I mean? And I think nowadays we're getting to see that there's different parts of the universe. Like you said, different ways to be black. You know what I'm saying? There isn't some monolithic thing. So he can represent the young Spider-Man in the way he wants to be mm-hmm. black or Afro-Latino and so on and so forth. I think we're getting to an era of diversity. Even amongst the diversity, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because being black is a very diverse thing in itself, because black people in America are different from black people in the Caribbean, different from black people in Europe. So everybody can get something different from it. You can get, like, Miles is one of those. He's still young. They're going to age him up soon or whenever they feel like it. You know, Jubilee's been 13 for 40 years, but.
Yeah, until they decided that she needed to have a baby. Then it's like, oh, you're 29.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now Jubilee's like 25 and she adopted a kid.
Let us not forget when she was a vampire.
Jubilee got a baby.
Oh, she adopted,
but
she
adopted
him as a vampire.
Oh, well.
She adopted him as a vampire, yeah.
Okay.
I am a Jubilee fan, so I'm cool with her development and how she's grown as a character.
We get it. You like fireworks, Aaron.
Yeah.
All right.
I do.
Where can people find y'all? All
right. You can find me at Aaron Rampal on Facebook. I add pretty much anybody who does not look creepy or like a complete fake profile. So make sure that you hit those prerequisites. You can add me on Instagram at Your Favorite Skinny Man and on Twitter at Your Fave Skinny Man. That's URFAV Skinny Man. And you can listen to my podcast, Aaron Explains the Universe and Stupid Movie Tuesday, which will be returning soon from hiatus.
Nice.
Yeah, super dope. This is Ed Greer. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at Ed Greer Destroys, spelled how you'd think, G-R-E-E-R on the Greer. Check out my Instagram. I got like a bunch of dope pictures that I drew. I'm an artist as well. And I do have my podcast, Nerd Goat, that you can check out at nerdgoatpodcast.com. Check that out and go to iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. And last things last, I am on Screen Junkies, as Iffy was talking about. And I'm on there every Wednesday at 11, their show Screen Junkies News, where we cover news stuff. And I'll be on Movie Fights probably over the holidays.
Nice.
Ooh, okay. And as always, you can find me at Iffy Wadiwe, IFYNWADIWE on Twitter and Instagram, IfD's on Twitch. Hang out in the Nerd Fam Discord, also the Salt Squad Discord if you are part of the Twitch family. It is discord.gg/Salt Squad. Danny's in there. usually before we tweet out the giveaways, we post it in there first. Actually, it's simultaneously. I don't want anyone thinking they have to join and get a scoop, because usually I post the Twitter link, because usually you have to retweet for the contest. So I you know, just come in there, hang out, come in the stream. A lot of y'all have been coming through, really been blessed by y'all. But I guess that's goodbye. Just kidding. Stay nerdy, y'all.